welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it's now or never, and I want you to know that we've got Red Pill Expo coming up on July 9th and 10th, and they kind of do a wrap-up kind of on Monday. So check-in, early check-in and registration is on Friday, and I'm going to pull up the calendar so I can actually give you the, you know, the, make sure I'm giving you the right days. So, correct, July 8th. The weekend after the 4th of July in Indianapolis, and it's in the convention center that's right there by the airport. So a lot of you folks have easy access into Indianapolis. And as a matter of fact, when we went to South Dakota, there were a lot of people that drove from Chicago. And I'm telling you, when you see such a dark blue state like Illinois, any opportunity for something like Red Pill Expo, the conservatives of Chicago, the conservatives of these blue states, they just flock. So get your tickets now and get yourself there. I know there's lots of people looking and saying, we can't afford to drive. Now, one of the things that is going to be there, we will have petitions. Paul Venable, the candidate that's running for U.S. Senate, you hear me talk about him. He's running for U.S. Senate out of Missouri. He needs your support. He needs nationwide support. And he'll have nationwide petitions so that if you want to get your, you know, if you want to sign these and you want to get copies of these and you want to get some guidance or what have you, Paul Venable will be there. And so we just want to make sure that you take advantage of this opportunity. Now, we were expecting... Now, to be clear, don't know, because if you look at, you know, Ed Griffin's age, I think he's getting into the 90s, if he's not already. I mean, I think he's my father's age, so he's probably 92, because I think he was born the same year my father was. And so with that, you can't expect him to be around much longer. So however many years, you need to start getting involved in this, because Red Pill Expo really needs to start taking a life of its own beyond Ed Griffin. And I'm just saying this because we can't allow, you know, things to just, I'll just say, fade away just because somebody passes away or because somebody becomes, you know, incapacitated or what have you, like myself with Reclaiming the Republican Republic Review. We all need to start actually getting active and getting involved in what I would say are those essential things that we all need to do so that we can actually preserve our Constitution and our liberties. It's now or never, folks. And if you're going to start making a difference, Red Pill Expo is an awesome place. Now, a year ago or 2 years ago, I'm just trying to remember. Yeah, it was a year ago when I was in South Dakota and we were able to meet with legislators and we started having these meetings. Yours truly will not be there, and so I won't be able to have any legislative meetings, but Paul Venable will, and he'll be able to do this. He'll be able to actually hopefully, you know, ignite this movement where people start using First Amendment petitions. Now, one of the things that I noticed that one of the candidates that was running for the Senate seat in Missouri, I think it's Grecians or, you know, and I don't know if it's pronounced the same thing as Grecian's formula, you know, like that stuff men put in their hair. But Grecians, I think, came out with this, and I'm really bad with names, so if I got it wrong, forgive me. He came out with a video talking about going rhino hunting and, you know, going door to door with a gun. And, where did you hear this concept of going rhino hunting? You heard it right here in 2019, 2020, and it was big in the 2020 election. I mean, we were hammering that, how important it was. Now, we're at a point now, which is we've moved beyond rhino hunting. We need to actually exterminate rhinos and communists. They're all working together. This is why we created this, the constitutional positions to campaign on for all levels, from your county, state, and federal levels in the election this year. And moving forward, we need to start focusing on the Constitution, not just these, the rhinos, not just the Democrats. We need to be a broad, you know, I'll just call it a full spectrum antiviral, the medication or approach in wiping out anything and everything that does not belong in the body of this republic, period. So I still need to get back, and I hope Paul Nally, I know he's a forgiving guy, he's a good Christian out of Georgia, we need to get back with him on common law. What we will end up doing, because we're almost done with the Bill of Rights other than getting into common law and those types of things, but we're going to kind of talk about common law in today's topic as we go through some of the amendments. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Hopefully we'll talk to these folks this summer while, you know, we're out going through the ratification debates and, you know, getting involved in campaigns. Really, we're at that point in time where we're really going to start focusing on the states that actually have the late primaries. There's quite a few states. Missouri's one, as we look at, I think Missouri's one. I know Montana's already had theirs, but Wyoming, Washington State, there's a few others that actually have some late. And this is great, folks. You need to get your state to start having late primaries to give you an opportunity to use the summertime. So, because the doldrums of summer, that's when you need to really, and that's when you have the time. You've already cleaned up the mess in the spring. You finally got your yard and your family and your home into a maintenance mode, and kids are out of school, and you got your vacations done. Now let's focus on politics, right? So anyway, let's actually start using this summer, and that's what we're going to be doing. And again, we want to ask you to directly support Paul Venable. We want to ask you to directly support Tom James. What we're going to do is we're going to have a list of the candidates that we're going to ask you to directly support. And if you could remember, I've been asking you to save a gallon of gas. Now, that's a lot of money nowadays. If you can save, and most people are saving a gallon of gas, I know we're all being pinched, but folks, do not let Soros buy up our politics and government. The only way we can fight this and get people in to turn this around and close down these open borders and open politics concept and shut them down to every election being local, if you really start understanding the importance of all of these issues, especially making elections local, this actually secures our election. Making elections local is far more aggressive in a security process in shutting down all of this external influence. Making elections local is probably the best thing we can do for election integrity and restoring the democratic process within our Republican form of government. Period. And so it's not an open democracy. It is a Republican form of government that we use democracy in, and we need to lock down people from being able to influence who you have as a representative, especially if they don't even have a right to that representation. Now, as we go through this, every Wednesday, we point you to Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching. If you need financial support, financial coaching, and some assistance in becoming completely solvent and becoming completely autonomous and self-supporting, then get yourself with Gary Smith and Fortitude Financial Coaching. Timber Nation at timbernation.com. Hardwood furniture. We're in the summertime. Now is the time. If you want to get some of this stuff before Christmas, the summertime is really when you want to get these orders in. And also my final comment before we get into the basically the comprehensive list or the constitutional positions that we all need to start focusing on for our campaigns and getting your candidates. You need to get in their face and get them to understand these issues, how we take back our property rights and so forth. Anyway, our comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, where we left off, we just finished up the, I'll say, the petitions for the for the militia, both the organized and unorganized, what needs to happen. Now, this kind of has a little flavor to common law, because if you understand these concepts of a right by jury and so forth, we're going to read you the 5th, 7th, and 8th Amendments. No person shall be held for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of an indictment of a grand jury. So in other words, for a capital crime or otherwise infamous crime, unless presentment. So you can't stand on trial. In other words, technically, if you're going into a murder trial, you have a right, and you should demand your Fifth Amendment right to ensure that a common law grand jury actually indicts you so that they actually say, yes, you must stand trial. Because it says right here, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. Now, when they say grand jury here, again, I can't emphasize enough, this is a grand jury that is a common law grand jury, not an admiralty court, not a civil law grand jury, you know, not some grand jury, a professional grand jury that they conjure up. No, this is a common law grand jury. So if you know somebody that's, you know, being charged with an infamous crime, make sure they know their Fifth Amendment rights. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so keeping in mind this whole process of grand juries, in other words, you can't even be called in to be tried for treason or an infamous crime. So in other words, let me put this into context, not just for capital punishment, but the Fifth Amendment protects Americans from being political prisoners. Political prisoners in America is unconstitutional. The only way you can actually, you know, get people incarcerated for standing a trial for an infamous crime is to have a grand jury. And to be clear, folks, the federal government does not have the ability to do this other than via a common law grand jury. They have to do this by a common law grand jury because they're not a state. Technically, let me back up. Every state in the union was forced, or I should say wasn't forced. Only Louisiana was forced. Every state in the union has declared common law as the law of the land. Now, technically, Louisiana should have been forced because of the Seventh Amendment, and we're going to get right into that. However, the United States government, understanding that the law of the land is common law, they should be exercised. They're not. I want you to understand this. This is a mountain we have to climb, because they've instituted civil law and they're using admiralty courts and civil law courts to actually go after us and to basically. This is how they're making millions. This is a money making, like a money laundering machine. So when we start looking at the Seventh Amendment, the right to common law and common law grand juries is obviously right here, because this is where common law is protected, because it says, in suits of common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. And so you have a right to a common law court, and if you're actually in dealing with a controversy that exceeds $20, then you have a right to a trial by jury. That means that if you've got traffic laws, if you're going into marriage and divorce court, because how much money is on the line in a divorce court? Now, marriage is not a court, but I'm just saying family court, divorce court, those types of things, there's usually a lot of money involved, especially splitting the house, the estate, all those types of things. Why is it that we are not using juries, trials by jury? Because a trial by jury is a guaranteed right in America. Ah, well, they've convinced you that their newfangled legal process is better, because it is better for them to make money. Anyway, and this is the Seventh Amendment. In suits of common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. So, in other words, you actually have a right to actually basically keep them from being able to drag you in and punish you by keeping on trying to come after you and using the same things and the same, as they say, the no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined. In other words, if they've thrown something up at you in one trial, they can't drag it up and use it in a different type of charge. It's almost the same as double jeopardy. And this is the double jeopardy protection. The Eighth Amendment, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Folks, if you look at the legal system that the framers put in, it was a very civilized legal system where we couldn't be dragged through the streets, where we couldn't be punished. And I want you to understand something. I've said this before. When justice is blind, our justice is perfect. And when we look at these amendments and where we should be today, we're so far off the mark. So petition one, in dealing with these, we can no longer in no way allow any U.S. citizen to be held as a political prisoner, especially if they're supporting and calling for public servants to be fully compliant to the Constitution. More importantly, there needs to be a grand jury. Excuse me, I'm sorry, something just popped up. So there needs to be a grand jury indictment, period. Because you cannot just have somebody stand this type of magnitude of trial without having done the due diligence by the law of the land, by common law, and having a grand jury indict a person. That doesn't mean you've been convicted. It means that you need to stand trial for a crime and be prepared to defend yourself. Congressional oversight, second petition, congressional oversight hearings and witch hunts need to end. Congress does not have the authority to oversee everything in this union. They have oversight over the enumerated powers. That's it. They don't have oversight over whether the baseball, Major League Baseball, uses steroids or whatever they use. They don't have oversight over your 401ks and over the SEC. They don't have oversight over aviation. They don't have oversight over education. These things are not enumerated powers. These are usurped powers. So therefore, we need to make sure that they get reined in and get backed into the oversight where their oversight is only over those things that are enumerated within the Constitution. Now, this next petition kind of has a few different subsections to it. Common law grand juries must be used as defined in the Constitution and as applied by the 5th and 14th Amendments. Civil fines and what I mean by that, the 14th Amendment means that Louisiana has to start invoking common law. They must abandon civil law. Civil law has no place in America today since the 14th Amendment has passed. And so, and I know there's lots of people, and I'll get into this petition after I get into this little diatribe. I get people, every once in a while, I'll get somebody that tries to give me a zinger on the 14th Amendment and say, you know, the incorporation of the 14th Amendment, you know, incorporating the Bill of Rights into the states is, you know, absolutely repugnant. That's not the whole point of, you know, that second clause or that second sentence in Section 1. And you know what, these people, they're idiots. You know, they may be good, they may be good-hearted people, they may be patriots, but they're absolutely blinded by their bias because for the years and years and years, they believed that the states have these autonomies. Now, I've been telling you, and history only proves how the states have been the culprits in actually offending and causing problems. As a matter of fact, you want to see the havoc that has been, you know, just basically leveled upon America, go into the 2020-2021 Bolshevik Revolution and see the damage that these people have done because the states fail to enforce the law. If we're not enforcing the law, then your property rights, your life is in jeopardy. And bottom line, when we look at the Bill of Rights, I ask every single one of these brilliant people, please tell me which part of the First Amendment is absolutely so repugnant that you don't want to ensure that your state does not violate those rights. Oh, well, and that's what they say. You know, it's not about that. And I go, no, it is very specifically because you're saying the Bill of Rights is a bad thing. No, the states already have the Bill of Rights. So why is it that it's okay for the states to actually ignore it? Because the whole point, and if you actually understand the history of the 14th Amendment, the reason the 14th Amendment was passed was because Louisiana murdered the government of Louisiana, cops, whoever had the guns in Louisiana, when these freemen went into a convention in New Orleans. They went into a convention. I don't even know what the body count is, but it was a large body of black freemen that went into convention to actually, you know, get organized, and they went in and killed them. This swept the nation and changed the sentiments towards states' autonomy and being able to manage themselves with their own Bill of Rights. This is where we now have these rights. Now, just because the Bill of Rights, people look at the Bill of Rights as this little portal, actually it's not a portal for the federal government to aggrandize its jurisdiction. The federal government has been aggrandizing their jurisdiction in so many different ways, and the problem is that the states haven't held them to it. See, again, the states are the problem. We need to take our states back. Everybody wants to fight the federal government, fight this, fight abortion, fight you know, for their Second Amendment, health freedom. If you want to fight the government, you have to take your state back first. You have to take your county back first. This is why we're going through these campaign issues. Do not let anybody pollute the water by telling you the incorporation of the 14th Amendment is a bad thing, because go through every Bill of Rights, go through every amendment and ask yourself, well, do I want to be secure in my persons and all my effects from the state government or just the federal government? All government. You have these rights, and these rights need to be protected. And we should not be allowing tyranny by your county government, by your city government, or by your state government. And this is the whole intent of the 14th Amendment, was to protect the people from all government in America, from tyranny. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get into this petition. And again, this is petition number 73. Now, we started off with one, and all of these petitions have nothing to do with the four petitions, and actually there's going to be a few more, but the four basic petitions that we're putting out there. And so these petitions that we're putting out, you should be able to reference and actually build a petition on top of that. In other words, this petition laid out the argument that the federal government's jurisdiction, is this, that they cannot have, the Department of Transportation because it's not an enumerated power. And therefore, since we do this one petition, you can actually then use a different petition to going after them for education, a different petition for going after them for labor, a different petition for going after them for the Department of Justice, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, as we move forward, let me get into this petition number 73. Common law courts and grand juries must be used as defined in the Constitution and as applied by the 5th and 14th Amendments. Civil fines and traffic court fines must comply to common law standards when the penalty exceeds $20. Divorce and family court laws and courts need to return to the churches and common law courts, because bottom line, that's who used to do this before. That's who used to actually break up the family, was handled by your community services, or actually your churches. It wasn't handled in the court. Bails, fines, and fees need to be an equal hardship based on the accused financial capabilities and worth, not based on the onerous flat rates for revenue purposes. In other words, this is going right after the Eighth Amendment. Why is it that somebody that can barely afford to, you know, provide for their family goes through such a devastating blow because they had a drunk driving ticket instead of this rich baseball player kid who actually has a multi-million dollar contract with some major league team, and he can just write a quick check and walk right out of bail? I mean, two people of the exact same age, you know, very young in their life, one actually has a great opportunity and the other one doesn't. How is justice being served? Remember, when justice is blind, in other words, we need to start looking at the fines and the fees and penalties so that it is equally applied regardless of the financial prowess or the financial capabilities of the individual. In other words, you want to basically take 1 year's savings or 1 year's income or the full worth of a person, then you should actually be able to do just that, or 50%. So if somebody gets a drunk driving and they make $50,000 a year based on their taxes, based on their current financial situation, and they don't have, because you got to look at what they're holding too. If they have all this money in the bank and they just make, you know, like Warren Buffett, he only gives himself whatever he needs, and, you know, maybe $100,000 to, you know, keep the lights on in his home. And actually, most of the stuff, the way they hide and shelter their money, it's like, you know, it seems like they don't even make a penny. Well, we need to actually look at their whole self-worth, and we need to basically go after 50% of that. If we want it to be a 50% penalty for the 21-year-old that's a carpenter, that's, you know, got a kid on the way, just got married and made a dumb mistake, just like Soros's kid made a dumb mistake, they both should have equal treatment, and the punishment, or I should say the pain inflicted upon them, should be equal. It should not give favor to the affluent. And you'd think that most people, the poor and the average person, the middle man, the middle income people, and even the low upper income people should say, yeah, you know, this is an unfair system. How did we get into this situation? And it was all because it was a way they could make money. And it's a way they make good money. The court system is about money. It has nothing to do with justice. And it's just a machine that will eat you up. And I can tell you, there are lawyers. My sister-in-law had a lawyer that absolutely charged her $5,000, got her to sign a contract. Got her to sign a contract that says, you're going to pay us $5,000 just for coming into our office and breathing air. And it doesn't matter what we do. You can't question it and you get no money back. That was the retainer contract, because she didn't know anything about, you know, she was in a situation where she was absolutely scared, didn't know what to do. And here was a law office that absolutely took advantage of her. And that is what lawyers do. That is your common lawyer. And if you're a lawyer and you know what this law firm did in California, and you know that, you know, that is just absolutely repugnant to the reputation, supposedly sullying the Esquires of the Bar Association, as far as I'm concerned, then you need to get the Bar Association to start cleaning this crap up, because that stuff should never happen. Anyway, because this devastated her. This devastates people, folks. Our legal system is eating us up. Anyway, bails, fines, fees, again, need to be equal hardship based on the accused financial capabilities and worth. I can't say it enough. Lastly, hardcore criminals' incarceration In other words, you're a rapist, you're a treasonist, you're a Bolshevik out there revolting and so forth. Everybody that is a hardcore criminal because they're ideologically wired or they're a sociopath, then we need to outsource their incarcerations outside the United States, away from the United States. So, I mean, where it's just not plausible that they get on a raft and try to float back, like Africa, like Asia, like Australia, places that would make it really hard. And if they want to have visitations, they can have video visitations. And it makes it easier for the family. The family doesn't have to get up and go all the way down to the jail. There you go. But we need to make punishment a punishment, not a pleasure anymore. We've completely placate and mollycoddle these hardcore criminals. Are you kidding me? Do they deserve it? I don't think so. I think that because they've reneged on their dues to society, you're talking to somebody that says these people absolutely ought to be excoriated, not killed. I mean, the intent is to get them to not do this. And as a matter of fact, more importantly, having a tough punishment system, having a tough penal system, makes it even less attractive for somebody to actually, commit a crime. You really want to start cutting down on crime? One, we have to start enforcing the laws, and we have to enforce the laws with the severity of what these people are doing. A rapist, a murderer, does not deserve television. They don't even deserve all sorts of books. The one book that maybe they should have is the Bible. We need to start looking at this pragmatically, just like the framers did. Anyway, as we go forward, that kind of wraps up those last three petitions of the 73. This next one is the simplification of the 9th and 10th Amendments. And as a matter of fact, I want to be very clear on this. The best way to simplify the 9th and 10th Amendments is by definitizing the Constitution. Most people know what the 10th Amendment is, but here's the 9th Amendment. The enumeration in the Constitution, in other words, the powers listed in the Constitution of certain rights, shall not be construed or deny, disparage others retained by the people. In other words, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights. So again, these people that say, the inclusion of the Bill of Rights to the states by the 14th Amendment, that's just terrible. Hold on here. Even the 9th Amendment makes sure that the rights of the people cannot be denied or disparaged. They will be retained by the people. Okay, so in other words, the government can't all of a sudden start presuming the ability to regulate and actually control and take away rights and make them privileges, like owning a gun, like speaking, like your religious worship, your right of conscience, your right of assembly, so forth and so on. Remember, they listed these things as rights. And the reason that these are immunities, because it says right there, Congress, now the states, can make no law. You now have an immunity from government. They can't make a law that actually takes away these rights. Period. The only way they can actually make laws is they have to get rid of the Bill of Rights. They have to get rid of these amendments. Okay, so the 10th Amendment now is a little bit different, because the 10th Amendment basically says the powers not delegated to the United States, to the federal government, by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states. In other words, in the Constitution, if you didn't know it, Article 1, Section 10 actually prohibits the states from certain things. So in other words, powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states. In other words, those things that are covered in Section 10 of Article 1 are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, my friends, they can't, they can't create or make these assumptions that the states don't have powers, and the federal government comes along and says, we have the power over education. In other words, those powers not delegated are reserved to the states respectively and to the people. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so my final comment before we get into the petition, and kind of it's, I think this may be the first time, actually, before I do that, let me actually jump up, because, yes, okay, so this is kind of a repeat, this particular petition. And so, just so you understand, we're not trying to create repetition, but what we want you to do is we want you to understand that, you know, this petition that we're calling for helps kind of adjoin to something else. And but what you do is you use the arguments of the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. But anyway, based on, so let's look at the Ninth and Tenth Amendments in this frame. If you look at what they're saying, they're basically saying, hey, this is the law and you really have to pay attention and these are the only things that the federal government can do. Well, based on the ratification debates, there is a plethora of references that refer to states' rights and powers not delegated. Technically, in definitizing the Constitution, the Ninth and Tenth Amendments can actually be removed. If the states definitize the Constitution, in other words, we have the technology and ability to take the existing U.S. Constitution, the Constitution for the United States, take that Constitution and then create all the cross-references to the definitions and terms provided during the ratification. That's what is definitized means. In other words, it creates this legal binding ties to those definitions that were provided that are legally binding during the ratification debates, because these were the cell factors, these were the little pitches. This is what this means. Those are technically sales pitches in getting the states to buy into this Constitution. They weren't a bunch of just fancy language. They were stating the facts and how they were defining what these lines meant, what these words meant. And so definitizing the Constitution, had they had the maturity in contract law, and had they had the technology and the ability to create a hyperlinked cross-reference Constitution, so every time you clicked on that line, it would go to a page of all of the sub-references. This would take away the ability of interpretation from the jurists. Now the jurists can't say, well, we think there's this thing there. No. If it's not enumerated, you can't open it up. You can't grab it. If it's something that you have a if it is a declaratory clause that is actually restricting the federal government from being able to get engaged in religious expression, then the federal government can't get engaged in religious expression, period. It's that easy, folks. That means that they can't even pull you into court. It's that easy. Definitizing the Constitution is such a big step. This is one of the reasons why the Constitution Association, and there are other organizations out there, Douglas V. Gibbs with his Constitution Association, has basically volleyed up and said, we want to get involved. We want to actually be, you know, we want to lead on this, because he recognizes that this is the first step in pushing compliance to the Constitution. And what this effort will do is it will be able to provide this definitized product of the Constitution to the states, and then let the states finish the polishing of this gem. Because truly, this is a gem. This is the gem that will last America and preserve liberty for centuries, if not a millennia. I want you to understand what I just said. By the states definitizing this Constitution with all of those things within the ratification debates, we now, it's almost like taking, you know, the law of you know, Moses, or the commandments and the laws that Christ has given us how to live, and injecting the scriptures so that it is so crystal clear. It makes it really easy for you to understand whether you're violating his law or not. And it's the same thing with whether you're violating his Constitution or not. Definitizing it is that important. And so as we, you know, kind of move on into this next topic, see, we're chugging along, folks. And so we've actually, where are we at now? We're on page 34 out of 39. And I'm just going to jump down real quick. 36. So we've got two pages to go. Two pages. We will be wrapped up this week. Isn't that good news? So on Monday, we will be getting started with the ratification debates as it looks right now. The 11th Amendment is a beautiful one. So the 11th Amendment is actually something that shuts down the federal court jurisdiction from being able to aggrandize itself into cases that they have literally no jurisdiction for, because in the second, or actually in Article 3 of the Constitution, the 11th Amendment changed Section 2, Subsection 1. And so what it did was it removed several words out of Section 2 and basically simplified it by stating this: the judicial power of the United States shall not be construed to extend to any suit in law or equity commenced or prosecuted against one of the United States by citizens of another state, or in other words, by one of the states in the United States, of citizens of another state, or by citizens or subjects of any foreign state. So let me read the 11th Amendment, or actually the Section 2, the judicial power, where the 11th Amendment changes this. So the judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution, the laws of the states, and treaties made or which shall be made under their authority, to all cases affecting ambassadors, public ministers, and consultants, and then to all cases of admiralty and maritime, to controversies to which the United States shall be a party. So that doesn't change. What changes is this next two sentences or two lines. To controversies between, so in other words, their jurisdiction in the Article 3, Section 2, subsection 1, they actually had jurisdiction to controversies between two or more states, so they still have that, but this is where it really kicks. They had, under the original Constitution, jurisdiction between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state, claiming lands under grants or different states, and between states and or citizens thereof, and foreign states and or subjects. This whole portion was changed, so now the federal government does not have jurisdiction between a state and citizens of another state, between citizens of different states, between citizens of the same state, claiming lands under grants or different states, and between a state or citizens thereof and foreign states. So in other words, they don't have jurisdiction anymore. They can't be pulling people in if they're suing. If you're a citizen of Oregon and you're suing California, that cannot go into a federal court. Now, you think, well, why? You know, isn't that important that we have this access to the federal court system? Actually, no, because the progressives have used this in helping aggrandize. Because here's the kicker. Here's the most important thing, because it's right here at the very beginning of the judicial power. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. So if a citizen has a lawsuit against a state that is actually an enumerated power, an enumerated role, an enumerated responsibility, or an enumerated property of the U.S. Constitution, then that lawsuit can be heard by the federal government. But if you're just suing the federal government because they're violating, you know, let's say you wanted to, you know, abort a child. And so they basically have this law that says you can't do that. And you say, well, I have this right of privacy. Well, you can't construe that. As a matter of fact, the federal courts and the state courts actually can't even pull those things in, because they can't make laws regarding the security of your person and your effects. However, when it comes to your ability to affect a life, that's something different. And so this is how they've been able to try to bypass, you know, these protections and get the federal court to reach in and then actually make laws that they have no authority to make. Remember, the Bill of Rights means that they can't even get engaged. They're not even supposed to have jurisdiction. The federal courts have no jurisdiction over these things. And when it comes down to it, these issues should be managed and handled at the county and state level. And the states do have the authority and power in their constitutions to actually amend the Constitution to ensure that certain rights, such as the rights of life and liberty, which are the fundamental principles of government, the fundamental principles of government. Remember, every hall of government, whether it be a courtroom, whether it be a legislative, you know, chamber, every room in government at the very top trim, all the way around the walls, should be written the objects of government. The two primary objects of government is to preserve life and property. And if we keep our public servants focused on those two things, then they will serve us a lot better. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Well, one last reminder. Do not forget to get yourself to Red Pill Expo July 9th and 10th.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.